Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The Valdosta Church of Christ is located at 1119 Old Lee Highway, Tuscumbia, Alabama, 35674. We can be reached by phone at 256-381-0331. Anytime you are in the Tuscumbia area or Shoals area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. We have Bible class every Sunday at 9:30. Our worship service follows at 10:30. Evening services are at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word.
I apologize for that, but it's good to see every one of you today. Me and Tori, we've been making it good at the Memphis School of Preaching. Just started our second year. And I got to jump on the work. I'm almost done with my assignments. I just got a 20-page paper left. And then we'll be in the clear for this first quarter. But it's good to see the people that I grew up with, the Valdosta Church of Christ, this morning. It's always a pleasure to see you and to be with you. Today I want to preach on something that it's very important in the church. Because it's something that the church has gotten away with. And I'm not saying Valdosta has, but most of the church has. And that is spreading the Word of God into our communities. Being the people that go and teach others the gospel. I want us to look at the man Paul and what he did. And as we know, Paul was the apostle that went all over the ancient world preaching the gospel. And I want us to look at this in the aspect of us being in the Lord's vineyard. Working in the vineyard of the Lord. The vineyard of the Lord is the world. And the fruit of that vineyard are the people in the world. Us as Christians, we are the workers in that vineyard. And it's our responsibility to go and to try to pick the fruit, the people in the vineyard. And make them to be workers with us in Christ's church. And so let us go over to Romans chapter 1. And I want us to look at what Paul's desire was for the Romans. Paul, he desired to visit Rome. And he makes that clear in this epistle. He wanted to go to Rome for a specific reason. And he would say that in Romans 1 and verse 13. He says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even among the other Gentiles." Even as among the other Gentiles. Paul's desire was to go to Rome that he might have some fruit among them. Paul wanted everywhere he went, he wanted to be able to say that I have some Christians there that I led to Christ. And his desire was that for the Romans. He wanted to go there that he might be able to convert some people to Christ. Is that our desire today in the community of Tuscumbia, Alabama? Muscle Shoals, Alabama, Florence, Cherokee, wherever you live, is that your desire that you might have some fruit among the people there? Some people that you have led to Christ. And I hope that is. And if it's not today, let us make that our desire. And so we'll look at what Paul did to gain fruit among the Romans and among all the people that he visited. Three things this morning. Number one, humility. You have to have humility to have fruit among people. Paul says in verse 14, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul did not tell these people that I am a great Christian, that I am holier than thou. But instead he said, I am a debtor. I'm the lowest of the low. I owe you this to go and teach you the gospel. Paul had many things he could boast about. Go over to Philippians chapter 3 and 5 through 7. Philippians 3, 5 through 7. See, Paul, he was one of the chosen of God. He was an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. And he gives us this list here in verse 5 of Philippians. He says that I was circumcised the eighth day. He was born a Jew. He was not born one of those outside, but he was born a Jew, circumcised the eighth day. He says, of the stock of Israel. He was not grafted in from another stock, but instead he was born an Israelite, a full-blooded Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. He could take pride in that Benjamin contributed the first king to the Israelites. Saul was the first king. Paul's name, it was also Saul. He had the same name as that first king. But they gave the first king to the children of Israel. He said, I was a Benjamite, an Hebrew of the Hebrews. Now this could have meant that he spoke the Hebrew language. In the case of, we know that he did on the steps of the temple when he was about to be taken to Rome. Or it could mean that he kept all the customs of the Hebrews. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He says, as touching the law, a Pharisee. His father was also a Pharisee. In Acts 23 and verse 6, we see this. But the Pharisees, they were what some say the strictest of the Jews. They would add other laws so they would not break the laws of God. And we see Jesus going against the Pharisees as they did this. And so he has all these things to boast about. He says in verse 6, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Paul thought that he was doing God a duty. See, he was a Jew. And then this new religion comes, and so he needs to persecute them. He thought he did it with a good conscience, he says. And then he says, touching the law, blameless. There was not a man that could say that this man, Paul, did not keep the law of Moses. He was blameless. He kept everything. He had all these things to boast about. But in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. As a Jew, all these things were great. All these things he could boast about, but he said, I counted loss for Christ. Paul humbled himself. How was Paul humbled? In the first case, in Acts 9, in verse 4, a great light was shone around Paul. It shined around him. And Paul was knocked down. See, Paul was going to Damascus to persecute the church. But the Lord knocked him down, didn't he? And Paul, he fell to the earth. And in verse 4 it says that Jesus said, Paul, Paul, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The Lord humbled him. Threw him to the earth. But Paul would truly become humbled when he would see where he came from as a sinner and to where the Lord had brought him. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Until we recognize that we were sinners and that Christ came to save us. Until we put away all the pride that we have and whatever great things we think that we've done, However great our job is, how much ever money that we make, and all that pride in those material things, in the physical things like Paul did. Until we recognize that I was a sinner and Christ came to save me, and that's what we boast in, then we can't bear fruit in the kingdom of the Lord. Because only until we humble ourselves is when we will become servants in the vineyard of the Lord. God is looking for servants. Those who are not prideful, but those who will say, I will work in this vineyard for you as your servant. And that's exactly what Paul did. And he was able to write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 9 and go to verse 19. He says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. He says, unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, those who held the law. He says, unto those that were without the law, I became one that was without the law. So unto the Gentiles, he became a Gentile. He became a servant. He says, to the weak, I became weak. To the poor, he would become poor. Paul put himself on other people's levels. Can we do that in the church? Now, this doesn't mean that we have to become sinners to people who are sinners. But if there was a homeless man who needed the gospel, could we go down to his level? Be able to talk to him without being holier, mightier than thou? And if we follow after Paul's example, then we can do just that. And so to be a servant in the vineyard of the Lord, it takes humility to be humble. We got to be willing to get our hands dirty to work for God. Number two, to be a servant in the vineyard of the Lord, to bear fruit in this community that we live in, it takes availability. So it takes humility and it takes availability. Paul says in verse 15 of Romans 1, he said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Since I'm a debtor, he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Brothers and sisters, are we ready to teach somebody the gospel? Are we ready to preach the gospel to those that are in Tuscumbia also? Wherever it is that you live, Paul said, I am ready. And if we cannot be ready, then we cannot be servants in the vineyard of the Lord. I think there's two things that every Christian needs to have on the top of their head. And it's something that we're getting away from, and it's Scripture. It used to be said of the Church of Christ in the 60s and the 70s and the 50s that the members of the church were walking Bibles. That if somebody had a Bible question, they would refer them to a member of the church because they knew the Scriptures. They studied the Scriptures and they learned them. They were ready to teach people the gospel. Why cannot that be the case in our generation? At this point in the church's life. And so what do we need to do? The psalmist said, Psalm 119, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. If we want to teach the gospel to somebody, we need to hide that word in our heart. And how do we do that? We memorize the word of God. Two things that set the church apart from any denomination in the world. The true church of God, the church of Christ, is the plan of salvation and the acts of worship. We have five acts of worship. But we pray and we preach we sing, we take the Lord's Supper, and we give. We need to be able to show people why we worship that way through the Word of God. We have our plan of salvation that we find in this Bible. We need to be able to take people to Romans 10 verse 17 to show them that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We need to show them why they need to believe on Jesus with all their hearts in Mark 16 and verse 16, because he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. We need to show them why they must repent. Because in Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter says, when they says, what must we do? He says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. We need to show them why they must confess the name of Christ. Because this is what Philip told the eunuch in Acts 8 and verse 37. He says, if you believe with all your heart, he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said Himself, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. We need to show them why they must be baptized. What most of the world says is useless. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save you. Paul says in Romans 6, it's where we are buried with Christ. We're raised up to walk in newness of life. Are we ready to preach the gospel? Are we ready to teach others in our community? The only way to get ready is to study this word right here. Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, the Lord says in verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord, Isaiah says, saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. The Lord says, who am I going to send? Are we ready to step up? When the Lord says, who am I going to send? What will our answer be? Isaiah's was, here am I, send me. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, Jesus says the same thing. Who is Jesus going to send? He's going to send Christians. Those who have obeyed the gospel. And he tells us to go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so we are to go. We are to teach. We are to baptize. We are then to teach again and reteach. Convert these people. If I want to bear fruit in the vineyard of the Lord, it takes availability. I have to be available for the Lord. And so, I have to be willing to get my hands dirty. It takes humility. I have to have a servant's heart. Then I have to be available for the Lord. When the opportunity comes, when somebody is put in my path and I can teach them the gospel, I have to show up for work in the vineyard of the Lord. I have to be prepared to teach that person. When God says, who will I send? Our answer should be, here am I. Send me. Show up for work in the vineyard of the Lord. And lastly, we have to have dependability. The Lord is going to have to depend on us in situations when the gospel must be preached. And so how are we to be dependable for the Lord? Paul says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The gospel is always dependable. The gospel will never fall through. The gospel will always do its job. The gospel is dependable. Are we dependable? Or are we ashamed of the gospel? See, if we are ashamed of the gospel, then we're not going to teach it. Then we're not going to care to talk about it. Do we have any grandparents in here? My old man's in the back. He's a grandpa. He's got I think about four, and my sister's having twins, and so he's going to have six. But he loves to tell people about his grandkids. My mom loves to talk about her grandkids. Why is that? Because she loves them. She's not ashamed of those kids. Well, Brother Mosier at school, he has a tie and it has his grandkids on it. And he one day he came in and, you know, he just talked about his grandkids for a while. He says, you know, this is my grandson, my granddaughter. He loves his grandkids. There's a story of a man who was walking through a train, and almost all the seats were taken but a few, but he would ask somebody, he would say, "Do you have grandkids?" And a person would say yes. And he went along until he found somebody without grandkids. He asked that man, he said, "Do you have grandkids?" The man said no. And he said, "Well, good, then I can tell you about mine." And he sat down there beside him. He started telling him about his grandkids. Why do we do that? Because you're not ashamed of your grandkids. It is something you take pride in. It is something that you love. Hunter and Zach got two trucks. In high school, Hunter and Zach would roll up, I think, with a new pair of tires every week on those trucks. They'd spend so much money and care and put so much love into those trucks. And Hunter would pull up in his Mustang and he'd pop that hood on that Mustang. Look at that engine. Why would he do that? Because he took pride in that car. They took pride in their trucks. They loved those trucks. They wanted people to see them. They wanted to show them off. What about the Bible? What about the gospel? People show pictures of their grandkids, their children. Why don't we open up the Bible and show somebody the picture of Jesus? Show them who our Savior was. Show them the one who loved us so much and the one that we have so much love for. Our Savior. Why don't we open up the hood on the Bible and show them what makes the Christian work? The gospel. Why don't we show them our Savior? Are you ashamed of it? Or are you ready to show somebody who Jesus is? Are you ready to show somebody how to be saved? Are you ready to show somebody the beautiful bride of Christ, His church? The gospel, as I said, is dependable. 100% of the time. It says in Romans 1:16, He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Everyone that believes, who obeys it, 100% of the time, they are saved by the gospel. But it takes somebody to take the gospel to those people. In Romans 10 and verse 13, Paul says here, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's good. Now, how do we make people call upon the name of the Lord? How then shall they call on Him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, without somebody to tell them. How are they going to do it? See, there's some places that this pulpit can't reach. Namely, your schools. They won't let the Bible into the school anymore for some reason. Adam can't really go into your workplace. But who goes into the schools every week and to the workplaces every week? You do. If you're in high school, you're going to be there Monday. If you're in work, you might be here there this afternoon, or you might be there Monday or Tuesday morning. This pulpit can't go, but you can go. You can take the gospel into places that this pulpit can't take the gospel into. How shall they hear without a preacher? You can be the one that teaches them the gospel. In Psalm 71, verse 15 through 18, the psalmist says, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only." The psalmist says that he's going to go and he's going to mention the Lord's righteousness, all that the Lord has done. And then he tells us who should go. The young must do this. In verse 17, he says, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." Our young people need to declare the wondrous works of God. They need to take the gospel into our schools, into their jobs, to their other young people. The old must do this. He says, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed forth thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." He says, "God, forsake me not. Give me the time to show the gospel to this generation, to the ones that are going to come after me." We could apply to today. And even when people don't want to hear it, the psalmist includes that. He says in verse 24, "My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought into shame that seek my hurt." He says, "I'm going to tell of your righteousness all the day long, even when people are seeking to hurt me." And so what does it take to bear fruit in the vineyard of the Lord? First, we got to be humble. We got to be willing to get our hands dirty, to be workers in that vineyard. It takes humility. It takes availability. We got to show up for work. When the Lord sends somebody in our path, we got to be available and say, "Here am I, send me." And then it takes dependability. We have to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. As we're walking along the aisles of the Lord's vineyard and we pass those fruits that need to be picked. And see, the interesting thing is, not all of them are going to want to be picked. Some of them will never be picked. Even though we tug on them with the gospel, some of them will come off easily. But each one of them needs to be pulled on with the gospel. Each person that we come in contact with, we need to try to pull them in with the gospel. We're not going to save everybody, but we can save as many as we can in the vineyard of the Lord. Paul said, "I want to come to Rome so I can have some fruit among you." Well, right now, what is your desire? Is it to have some fruit with the people in your community today? And I hope it is. Jesus explains that this is a heaven and a hell issue. A heaven and hell issue. In Matthew 7 and verse 19, He says, "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruits is hewn down and cast into the fire." How are we doing bearing fruit in the kingdom of the Lord? In John 15 and verse 2, He said, "Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." If we're not bearing fruit, we're going to be taken away. We're going to be cast into the fire. But brethren, if we bear fruit in the kingdom of the Lord, in the vineyard of the Lord, then you're going to bring forth more fruit. That's what Christ says. Let us get to work today. If there's anybody in here that is not a worker in the vineyard of the Lord, and by that I mean not a member of the church of Christ, Christ's church that He bought with His blood, then you need to hear what He did for you. That He was sent from heaven, that He lived and that He died for you on the cross. You need to hear that gospel, Romans 10:17. You must believe that He is the Son of God with all your heart. Mark 16 and verse 16. You must repent of your old life, and what this is a change of mind. You are going to change how you live. It's a 180 turn. Acts 2 and verse 38. You need to confess the name of Christ like the eunuch did in Acts 8 and verse 37. That I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you must be baptized into Christ. 1 Peter 3:21. Because it doth also now save us. It saves you. Then you must live faithfully, working in the vineyard of the Lord for the rest of your life, trying to bring others to Christ. Maybe it's that we've already done this, but maybe there's some sin that's entered into your life. Maybe something has made you lose your focus of working in the vineyard of the Lord. If that be the case, you can come. We will pray with you and for you as we stand and as we sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the Valdosta Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at 256-381-0331.